Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, a new outbreak of the Ebola virus in Western Africa is causing international concern, with fatality rates of between 60 and 90%, severe difficulties in tracking infected individuals and communities resisting medical assistance due to fear. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Dr. Gabriel Fitzpatrick, a specialist in public health and infectious diseases and also chairman of Médecins Sans Frontières in Ireland. Gabriel, thanks a million for coming in to us this morning. You're actually going to Sierra Leone today to get involved in treating, both treating people who've been affected and also trying to track where this outbreak has come from.
Good morning. Absolutely. I'm leaving at 7pm this evening to Freetown in Sierra Leone to help out with this outbreak. The place I will be working in is an area called Kowloon in the eastern province of the country bordering Liberia and also Guinea. At the moment, Kowloon is the epicentre for the outbreak. We have almost 500 cases identified there, and MSF have, Médecins Sans Frontières, have approximately 270 staff on the ground.
500 cases, it's a very
almost
significant
500,
outbreak.
Absolutely.
This.
And we've actually started and are almost completed in the construction of a specialised quarantine hospital in Kowloon that will allow us to take cases directly there, treat them in an appropriate manner that prevents the infection spreading to other people.
When you look at this virus, I mean, between 60 and 90% fatality rate with this virus, it spreads incredibly easily. I mean, you as a doctor going out there, what are you going to do to stay safe?
Absolutely. Well, anybody going out there is always worried about Ebola as a virus. If you were picking the top 10 diseases you didn't want to get, Ebola would definitely be on that list. However, I would say about Ebola, and this is something that doesn't get put across sometimes in the media, is that it's not airborne. Okay, so it doesn't spread like the flu.
So coughing, sneezing, you're not going to get it.
You won't get it from that.
However, contact
with bodily fluids.
And are you talking blood here, or are you also talking saliva, tears?
Any type of bodily fluid contains the viral load. Absolutely. But you can reduce your risk to almost zero by wearing these full body plastic suits, apron, goggles and a mask, as well as Wellingtons and gloves. If you wear them and you wear them in the right manner, you won't get Ebola because it's not airborne.
You also work in a buddy system when you get out there to keep an eye on each other.
Absolutely. We have to be very careful. When we're looking after patients and when we're investigating cases in the community, we have to be very careful, obviously, for our own safety. So we operate a number of systems. One of those systems is, as you said, a buddy system, where when you see a patient in the quarantine hospital, you have a partner with you. So each person is looking out for the other person to make sure things like needle sticks or your goggles are on appropriate.
Those things happen all the time.
Happen in Dublin hospitals, in country hospitals, and indeed in hospitals in Sierra Leone. In any hospital across the world, you will find that happening.
And if you contract Ebola, well, hopefully not you, but I mean, as things stand, is there any treatment for Ebola, or is it just let's hope and see that you get through this?
Well, from this current outbreak in West Africa, we're seeing evidence that if you get to a treatment centre sooner, as soon as possible, basically, your chances of survival increase.
Why?
Now, it's because with Ebola, one of the main ways you die from Ebola is a thing called exsanguination, low fluid levels in the body. So if you rehydrate the body and if you treat super infections that may be present on top of the Ebola virus, such as pneumonia or UTIs, you also improve the survival. We're not talking anywhere near 100% survival, but you improve those individuals' chances. Now, one of the things in MSF, whether you've got a pneumonia in St. James's Hospital or Ebola in Sierra Leone, MSF believes that people deserve access to medical care. And that's why no matter where it is, you'll find MSF trying to provide that medical care.
At the very least, a person deserves pain relief.
As you may have heard mentioned previously, people deserve a good death. And, you know, in which your symptoms are relieved, in which you don't have a painful death. So if somebody has Ebola and things aren't looking well for them, at the very least, you can provide some ease for them. Because what we've found in Sierra Leone is that when these people are in these quarantine hospitals, inevitably it ends up being an MSF employee holding the hands of those people who are about to pass away. So it's incredibly difficult work, emotional work, but it's something that has to be done in combination with the epidemiology work that has
to be
done.
This is the next because part of it. You want to stop it.
Because one part of the job is working as a doctor treating the patients. The other part of the job is actually working as a detective. An epidemiologist is a fancy name for a detective. What we do is we go out into the community, we find the cases. We try to convince those cases to go to the nearest treatment centre, but we also try to find the contacts. So we have to look back for the previous 21 days to see who was in contact with that patient. And then we have to follow them up to see do any of those individuals develop symptoms of the disease, and then convince them to come to the hospital, as well as finding the source of the outbreak, which we believe we found.
You believe you found it. Where did it come from?
Well, the epidemiology suggests that it started in a small region in Guinea called Gedigu. We've got some evidence that the initial cases were out hunting bats and may have had exposure to bat meat. If you've read the literature on this, you'll find that bats act as a reservoir, one of the known reservoirs of Ebola virus. Usually Ebola is identified in areas of Central Africa, such as the Congo and Uganda, and there have been repeated outbreaks there over the past decades. It's very new to see Ebola in West Africa, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility that bats have migrated that far into West Africa, that some of the initial index cases hunted the bats and possibly got it from there. But we've also had problems where senior healers in the community in Guinea have been some of the initial cases of Ebola. So when you have a senior member of the community, such as a healer, lots of people visit those individuals. So they will visit
to them. So it spreads very quickly.
So they act in effect as an amplifier, allowing it to spread quicker than if it was present in somebody who did not have such a high position in society.
What are the chances at this point of the Ebola virus being transported to Europe? We've heard of people leaving Liberia and going to Nigeria with it.
Absolutely. You would hope that if you had a good information campaign that you could tell people, you know, if you've been in contact with somebody with Ebola, you're developing symptoms, then go to a health facility. Don't go to an airport and take a flight. You would hope, but also airports need to have some basic level of screening at the airport. However, in this case, with the case in Lagos, that didn't happen. The chances, there are lots of flights between West Africa and Europe, and there are lots of internal flights within Europe and outside Europe. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we could see a case of Ebola in Europe. But that's why it's so important that the work of MSF on the ground, the work of MSF on the ground in containing this outbreak. It's of much more benefit to us and to the people in West Africa if we stop the outbreak there and then, where it started. It's of benefit to us all.
And finally, can I ask you, I mean, you're leaving for Sierra Leone tonight. You have a wife, you have a child.
I do.
How nervous are you going out?
I'm scared a little. It would be an unwise person not to be scared of Ebola. It's one of the most deadly diseases. But as I said, if we take the precautions that I've already mentioned, you reduce your risk to almost zero. But I would say I've got an extremely understanding wife.
She's a GP in North Dublin,
although there's been no Ebola in North Dublin, I have to say. But she's an amazing lady. Her name's Ephany Hay, and she's incredibly understanding in allowing me to go. And I also have a son, Usheen. So I'll be trying to get this under control as quickly as possible out there so I can get back to them.
And, you know, you were saying there, 21-day incubation period. When you leave Sierra Leone to come home, do you have to go into some kind of facility so that you're not bringing it home with you and don't know about it yet?
You would only do that if you had an exposure, such as a needle stick injury or such as a splash of bodily fluids onto open mucous surfaces. So if you weren't wearing goggles and there was a blood splash or a fluid splash onto your eyes. If you wear the protective equipment, as I explained, throughout your mission and you come back, you're not at risk. So WHO standards, Health Protection Agency England standards, Centre for Disease Control and Surveillance in the States, all those standards state you don't need to be monitored for 21 days. Obviously, it would be a good idea to stay beside a location, relatively close to a location that has the ability to test for Ebola virus. And we do have a facility in Dublin for that. But if you keep to the infection control standards as set out by MSF, you will have no problems.
And Gabriel, we've had a lot of fears about pandemics in the past, the SARS virus, the avian flu, various, you know, things that we've all been vaccinated for. Just in that context of a global outbreak of a disease that we currently have no treatment for and has a fatality rate of between 60 and 90%, how worrying is it what has happened here?
It's very worrying for the people on the ground who have Ebola. You know, it's a severe disease with severe symptoms. So it's very worrying for those people. If we look at the broader global context of this disease, it's not airborne. So that's a major point I keep reiterating. So it doesn't have the ability to spread as quickly as SARS, as avian influenza. It's very unlikely that the virus would mutate into an airborne fashion in the near future. The most likely risk to us in Europe is that somebody gets on a plane from Lagos or from somewhere in West Africa, takes a flight to somewhere in Europe and develops the symptoms within 21 days of being infected. But to see widespread global global spread of this Ebola agent at present, it's unlikely.
It's unlikely, it's really unlikely. And even from what you're saying there with the figures, it seems that the 500 cases are still in the town that it was first noticed in.
Absolutely. In total, we have about we have just over 1,100 cases with just over 600 deaths across all of West Africa. So it has remained localized to West Africa simply because it can only spread by body fluids. We have had problems with getting communities on side in terms of bringing their sick cases to the MSF hospitals on time, because if they stay in the community, the longer they stay in the community, the more people who come to see them, the more contacts they have, the greater the spread of the disease. So we've had initial problems in West Africa with getting cases to come out of their homes and into our treatment facilities, where we can halt the spread of the disease and also help them in the treatment of the illness.
And do people in West Africa now understand how serious the disease this is and understand the initial symptoms of it?
Absolutely. Initially, I would say there was an issue with getting the message out. But over the past number of weeks, there has been a major ramping up of the health promotion taking place in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone. You can see posters hanging up everywhere across the major cities and in the villages. We're getting, one of the things we do in MSF is that we recruit local people. So we get community activists, we train them up on what the signs and symptoms are of Ebola. And at the moment in the area where I'm going to, we have 200 locally people recruited going out into the community, telling people what Ebola is and what you should do about it. And it's better the message coming from local people than outsiders arriving in who they may distrust initially on first sight.
Blame for bringing
absolutely.
The disease. Just remind us briefly, how does it kill?
How does it kill? Basically, it causes, in simple terms, it causes a disorder of your clotting system within the blood. As a result, you start bleeding into your organs. Sometimes you will see issues where people will actually bleed through their external orifices, basically. So you'll see bleeding from the eyes and mouths. But it's basically major dehydration from blood loss.
From blood loss. Yes. So an excruciating death,
I have to say, it's a very painful death, but that's one of the key things we're doing in MSF. We're saying, even though this condition is extremely severe, you know, in an MSF hospital, you'll get the treatment you need to resolve the symptoms and potentially increase your chances of survival.
Well, listen, Gabriel, thanks very much indeed for coming in to us this morning, and the very best of luck in your time in Sierra Leone, and hopefully we'll talk to you when you come back again, but be careful.
Thanks very much.